You know what? God is good. Amen. And you know what? It's been, that song has been like a bit of a theme running through Liberty right now. Like wherever location you go to, that song is being sung and different harmonies put in. But you know what? It's such a tremendous song. I remember, it's easy to say God is good when everything has gone well, isn't it? So God is good. But God is good all the time. Do you know why God is good? Because that's who he is. He can't be anything else other than good. And you know, I remember when Liberty first started, we had some tragic things happen within a couple of months of Liberty. I mean, major people dying on us. And the church was aching. We were aching. We were praying and believing for miracles. And the two people went home to be with God. And I remember the Lord challenged me, Noel, whoever I am, I'm that all the time. See, there's a big word in theology called immutable, which means God is unchangeable in his characteristics. So he's saying to me, no, wherever I am, I'm that all the time. So if you're gonna think through this situation and look at it just through your eyes, and you think, well, God, how could you do that? Why did you do that? He says, you're declaring that I'm not good. So if I'm not good and I'm unchangeable in my character, I'm not good all the time. But if I am good, I'm good all of the time. And we made a declaration as a church that God is good. We were at the funeral. I was doing the funerals. God is good. I've been in situations where people wanted to slap me in the face because I said, look, I know you're going through a hard time. I know this seems tragic, but God is good. God is good. And when we live in that and we flow out of that, we can look to God, even when we don't understand. I don't understand, but I know you're good. I know you will bring good out of this because you're good. He doesn't know how to do anything else. And then when we say he's perfect in all of his ways, what if he asks you to walk through a valley? He's perfect in all of his ways. And he's perfect in all of his delays. What seems a delay to us, when God's on time, he's on the button every time. And you might seem like my breakthrough is being delayed. No, it's not. God is just perfecting the time. Galatians 4:4 says this. Do you ever wonder, why didn't Jesus come today? Like, if Jesus came today, we could have him on all the satellite stations, couldn't we? We could beam him all around the world. But Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness, in perfect timing, God sent his son. When he came, it was perfect for mankind. And I just want us to close our eyes for a moment. And you may be going through some stuff, and you might think, this is unfair, God, or this is unjust. Or you may even have held something in your heart against God the Father. I pray, Father, that you would show us afresh how good you are. Lord, smash every myth and every lie that we've been led to believe about you, Lord. Father, reveal your heart, reveal your love, reveal your passion and your compassion towards us. That, Lord, we're sons and daughters. You're not a slave, you're a son, or you're a daughter. The Bible says whoever believes in him, he gives the right to be sons and daughters of God. Do you believe in him? If you believe in him, you're a son or you're a daughter. And we just receive out of sonship this day, Father, your love, your provision, your security. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Let your peace, Lord, and your security surround us right now, Lord. Let the atmosphere of our thinking, Lord, of our talk, Lord God, be one that is secure in the Father's love for us. We bless you, Lord. So God is good. You know, it's great to be here. Rob is in America, and he's playing some country music in Nashville. He's at a conference there right now, and he's having a great time. It's his first time in America, and he says to Patrice that he's having a great time. And we just make sure those Americans always make or already offers to stay. So just pray he doesn't get any good offers. Only messing. But he is having a great time. And I'm doing Growth Track 201. And he was here last week for doing their test and doing their personality test. And if you haven't talked to Rob, talk to Mags, talk to, and maybe it can be done over coffee with you to help you through this, because that's what we're providing in other locations. It's very good to know, like, this is my personality type, my leadership type, my spiritual gifts that I seem to flow in. Because then what we want you to do is look for a place to serve in them things. That if you're great with people and that comes up on your test, we want to put you with people. So we don't want any of our church people to be sitting down on their behind for the rest of the day till Jesus comes back. God help us. That is not a good place to be found for the rest of your Christian walk. That I pray that you find a place to serve where you're giving life and you're bringing life and receiving life from serving in that position. So I'm on 201, which is about the essentials of having a growing, deep relationship with Jesus. And for some of us, it might be some new things, and for some of us, it'd be a refreshing things, because if you take a checklist out on your life right now and go, am I doing these four things that we're going to learn today? You will say, you know what, I'm doing 2 out of 4. And there you go, well, that's good enough. It's not good enough. Because we need to be running on the four wheels of our walk with God and our journey with God, and not one or two. Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but listen, if Jesus says 3 things, you do the 3 things, amen? And you will get the results. And just to remind us of the 4 things that God says, and this is what we're building liberty around, 4 things God says to Moses in Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. He says, tell the people that I will rescue them, I will deliver them, I'll redeem them, and I will make them my people. He says, I'm going to take the people out of Egypt, a place of bondage, a place of sin. He says, I'm going to rescue them out of them. That's our salvation. The second one is, he says, I'm going to deliver them, which nearly sounds the same, doesn't it? But if rescue is getting Egypt them out of Egypt, deliverance is getting Egypt out of us. And God's in our structure that we're doing is like we're providing things to make sure that we're getting healed up and freed up and set free from the things of our old life that would hinder us and rob us from our new life. And then the third one, he says, I will redeem you. Meaning redemption means to take something and to put it back into its original purpose. Meaning God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's his intention and it's our intention to grow you so that you're fulfilling the call of God on your life. And then the fourth one is, I will make you my people. And when Sean was talking about communion there, Jesus shared 4 cups, not only 1 cup that like we shared, but there's 4 cups in the Passover Seder, meaning the order of things. And the first one is this cup of salvation, cup of deliverance, the cup of redemption. And the fourth one is the cup of fulfillment. And Jesus said, Sean read it, I will not drink of this cup from the vine again until we're together in the kingdom. Do you know what that means? The fourth cup Jesus hasn't drank from, but he drinks it. He drinks from the fourth cup when all things are fulfilled in the fullness of time, when we're at the wedding of the Lamb of God, when we're the bride and he's the bridegroom, and we're sitting there together, and Jesus takes a cup and he goes, guys, we drink this together. It's fulfilled. All things is done. All things is coming to the end of time. And as Sean says, you say that to yourself up here, and Sean said it a minute ago, and he goes, I can't wait to go. I'm like, my goodness, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. No, and Carol, she'd be on the door or something, like, taking the tickets. Amen. So our hope for you today is that you will have some knowledge and put into practice some of the things that we believe are the 4 habits that every believer, essential habits that every believer should have in a growing relationship with Jesus. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Colossians. He says, so then, just as you receive Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflown with thankfulness. Listen to some of those little words. They believed in Jesus, received Jesus, but he says, now continue to live your lives in him. It's not a one-off experience. It's a living, walking, talking, breathing relationship with a living God. And he says, not only that, but my prayer is that you will be rooted in him, that our roots will be deep. You know what? You can have every storm come against you, and if your roots are deep, the storms will come. The Bible doesn't ignore that. He never promised us a rose garden. He said, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. And Paul is saying, if your roots are deep, well, then when the winds come, I don't know whether you ever seen some things around the tsunami and all that stuff and these places in foreign countries. Have you ever seen a palm tree? You never see a palm tree on the ground. You know why? Their roots are so deep. They'll bend with the wind. They bend right over like that big like head of hair that a palm tree has. Tips the ground. But I'm telling you, when the wind stops, it comes back up again. And some of you are like that. This life has come at you and beat you down and rocked you. And like you're bang. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Like, and another win comes. It's like next week, you're a good, good father. Why Paul's saying? Because your roots are deep. And our intention and our hope and our prayer for each one of you of Liberty is that your roots go deep in Jesus. And not only that, but you would be built up and strengthened in your faith and overflowing with thankfulness. I don't know about some of your thankfulness, but my thankfulness is that I'm just still here. I'm still walking with Jesus. I don't know how these 27 years have gone by so quick, but like I'm like, Lord, I still love you. I'm still on fire. I'm still passionate. I don't know how you do that. That is his goal and his heart. And that makes thankfulness flow out of us. And so the first habit that we want us to understand is, here's how the four things. We want to talk about Bible study and prayer. We want to talk about fellowship and with other believers, living a spirit-led life and giving of ourselves. Listen to what the Bible says. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. Now, do you know that word devoted? It's not like, whenever I feel like a type of thing. They devoted themselves. They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, and to prayer. They gave up themselves. I want to tell you, the most miserable existence in all of Christianity is living a wishy-washy Christianity life. Jesus says in Revelations, you're useless. That's what he says. He says, I just want to spit you out of my mouth. That's how useless that a church is when they're wishy-washy, hot or cold, in between, neither one or the other, just lukewarm. And when you're devoted, you're never lukewarm. You're always something going on for you. It's always never boring. If your Christianity is boring, there's something wrong with you. Because my Christianity is not always great, but it's never boring. And when we devote ourselves, and this is what the early church does, and people would say to us and say to you, and you probably said it, and I probably said it, it's like, why aren't we seeing the stuff that the Christians done in the early days in the book of Acts? Well, this is some of the stuff that they done to see the stuff that they seen. And if we go as they went, we will see as what they seen. And we'll experience what they, and here's what they devoted themselves to: prayer and to the apostle teachings. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to being together. This is a commitment of mine, a lifelong commitment. I've only been in two churches in my life. One church that I went to from the beginning, and the other I was sent out, which is Liberty. It's like, why? Because I'm committed. I'm not committed to going around and seeing what's out there. I'm with a group of people that I'm doing life with. We're all getting gray together. We're all seeing our grandkids now grow together. Some of us are getting gray, Carol. But you're doing life together. You're in a family doing life together. And they devoted themselves to this. This is what Paul says in Acts. He says, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs performed by the disciples. They knew what it was to live a spirit-filled life. And listen to this, Acts 2:45. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. What a church. What a church. They had need and they had property. And you go, we have property, we have needs in the church. Sell it. Give it to the apostles. That's the most attractive church you can imagine, what was just described there. So here's our first one. Habit number one, the Bible study and prayer. This is what Paul says to Timothy. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. Paul was saying that the Bible is so important, and this is how we get the most from our Bible. We must accept the Bible's authority. The Bible's not just another book. The Bible's not just some religious book that we read. The Bible is God's word. Men and women, the Holy Spirit came upon them, inspired them to write down what you and I read. It is not just a book that you take or leave it. You have to accept it's the final word on everything that God wants you or I to know. And if we accept the authority of that, then we will receive what God has for us from the word of God. So we have to accept the authority, because people will pray, well, there's another religious book. There's another religious book. I don't know about you, if you've not experienced this yet, but when you ever read your Bible and you're reading something that was written 1600 years ago by a man called Matthew or something, and all of a sudden you're reading something and the words pop out at you. Do you ever get that? If you have put up your hand, it's like the words come alive. It's like it's meaningful to your situation, your life right now, even though it was written 1600 years ago. You know why? Because it's a living word. It's a word that is alive. How can something, I remember one day really struggling, and I'm reading through Matthew, and it says this, give to Caesar what Caesar's, but give to God what belongs to God. And the situation I was in, just it popped out, and it met the need, it met the moment, spoke to me, and the things, I'm like, I don't want the things of this world. I belong to God. So how could that happen? Why? Because I accepted, first of all, it is God's word. It is God's word. I must receive God's word with an open heart. I still pray every day before I go near the Word of God. Holy Spirit, will you open the Word to me? I open my heart. I open my mind. Will you show me what Father is trying to say? And not only do I must receive it, I must respond to it with obedience. I must respond to it because it's God's Word speaking to me. I must read God's Word. Faith, I must absorb God's Word as truth in my life. Hearing God's Word and doing God's Word, reading God's Word means I must study God's Word. If you put it in, when you need it, it'll come out. If you put it in, when you read it, it will come out. Memorize God's word. One of the rotten things that we have available to us right now is our iPads and iPhones. Because when I became a Christian, they told me if you wrote something down 21 times, you will memorize it forever. And I'm telling you, it works. Now with iPads, I don't need it. I'll just go to Google. And I'm bypassing my own brain. I'm bypassing things that God has put in us to be able to memorize stuff. And not only that, I must meditate on it. God, what are you saying to this? Who are you saying this to? How does that apply to my life? And read and think on. Look, just read something about God being a good father. Meditate on that for a couple of minutes. And I'm telling you, you're nourished. You're praying at a different rate. When you start to sing songs, you're not singing poor as me. You're singing great as God. And I must apply its principles. Now, here's the thing about the Bible. You can read it forever and not apply it. Not all you're doing is reading. When you apply it, you see, Lord, I can't forgive people. Well, you say to forgive people, and I ask for your grace to forgive people. I want to forgive. I'm applying your principles to my life. And you might say, well, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, it's like a bar of soap, the Word of God, isn't it? It's like you could go in with dirty hands into the bathroom right now and dirt everywhere on your hands, and you will look at the soap on the little thing, and you can say, there's a bar of soap, and you can leave the soap there, and as long as you leave the soap there, your hands are still dirty, yeah? But you take the soap up and start applying that to your hands, and the agent that's in the soap will start cleansing your hands. And it's like the Word of God, that you can lie there, sit there, it can be spouted out from everybody, but unless you take and apply it and rub it into your life, that's the only time you're going to know the power of it. The Bible says, don't be a hearer alone, be a doer of the Word of God. And it's in the doing that you receive the power for cleansing, for living, and for walking with God. And not only did they devote themselves to the Word of God, but they devote themselves to talking to God. Prayer. There's all different types of praying. Paul says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Never stop communicating with God. In the prayer time, you're giving devotion to God. In our prayer time, we're getting direction from God. We're growing in our relationship with God. And that's one of the classes that we're doing, or one of the groups that we're doing, is on the Our Father. And it's absolutely, the feedback from the groups that's doing the Our Father is amazing. It's something like in our culture that many of us just spout it out, boom, 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 Our Father, we used to have competitions in class, and when I was in primary school, who could say the Father? What did you say? I haven't got a clue. I just remember the first line of Our Father. But God, Jesus gave us, if they said to Jesus, show us how we should pray, and Jesus teaches them, the Our Father, it's not just about Jesus saying, this is what you repeat and repeat. Jesus, this is jam-packed. Like Our Father, he says, look, no Jewish person had called God Father in the Old Testament. And Jesus says, look, I want to show you this relationship. I want to show you can address him relationally as your Father. He says, hallowed be the name. I want to show you how you connect with God in worship and adoration around his name, because his names reveal his character and who he is. Your kingdom come. Here's Jesus saying, pray God's agenda before your own agenda. You ever go into God, God, I want this, 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 and this. And the Lord's like, okay, I'm going to tell you, if you listen, I'll tell you something that I want you to do, or how to get what you really need. Pray his kingdom first. Depend on your Father for everything. Give us our daily bread, Lord. Get your hearts right with God. Forgive us our debts. and forgive and help me to forgive my debtors. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. He's saying he'll equip us for spiritual warfare. Then he's expressing God, faith in God's ability. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. What a great way to finish talking with God. Why don't I say to myself, to everything that's around me, this is what who my God is. That he has all power, all dominion, all authority in everything. Nothing is impossible with God. I don't believe, if we're by nature pessimists, meaning we're always seeing the cup half empty. If that's our nature, listen, that's an old nature. You're a new man. Has to express, it doesn't matter what's going on, God is great and God is able. And I want us as a church and you as a person and us as a people to be the ones that will go in and go, look at this is happening, this is happening. I want you to be the person to go, yeah, but let's seek God. Let's pray. Look, our hope is not all gone. Oh, there's no hope for me. That's a stupid thing that anyone to say. It's a lie that people believe. That's why people kill themselves, because they believe all hope of situation and circumstances are changing them. Some, we don't know some people that are thinking these things. Well, imagine you're the one that says, look, I know it might seem hopeless, but I'm a person who prays. I'm a person who believes God can do anything, can turn anything around, that you can be the lifeline. Even if you're an irritant. But you might be an irritant who was saving somebody's life and someone from going to hell. Let us be the ones that thine is the power and thine is the kingdom and thine is the authority forever and ever and ever. Let you and I be the one, yet I know, yet we empathize, yet we sympathize, but there's a God. And he answers prayers and he answers your prayers and he answers Shannon's prayer. Habit number two. Fellowship with other believers. Listen to what the Hebrew writer said. He says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some as in the habit of doing. Instead, let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another. God never intended for us to be alone. That's why the body is, that's what the Bible calls us a body. Calls us a family. It calls us a building. Because a building's not only one stone, it's stone upon stone. That we were made to be together, created to be together. Even the scriptures, when you read the book of Colossians or the book of Ephesians, that was given to be read in community. It wasn't given just for individuals. They read it out to the body. And we were never meant to be on our own. We were always meant to be together. And if you think you can survive on your own as a Christian, I'm telling you, you're deluded. And those who are out there saying this, they're deluded. And they're miserable. And they're not fulfilling God's purpose in their lives. I'll tell you why, because we're made to fulfill it together. We're made to, no, my finger can't, my tongue can't say, like, I see a body, I'm out here. If I cut that off and left it there, you know what that's going to happen? It's going to rot. It's going to stink. It's not going to be useful to the rest of the body, is it? And I wouldn't be able to tummy lift anywhere. Meaning, I'm not getting anywhere fast. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up being in fellowship. Don't give up being in church. That's what Paul is saying. And at Liberty, we believe in church, and we want our church to grow, but we don't want it to grow so big that we can't have relationships together. And that's why small groups are very, very important. That's why getting into a group, that if you're not in one, and if this season you're not able to be in one, we'll have them back on at the end of January, and you'll be able to get in one, because in small groups you're able to grow spiritually, because we grow in relationships. It's not being in church like this, which is great and wonderful, and we're celebrating, but it's being in a relationship that someone says, no, that attitude is stinking. You're right. It's being in groups where people, you can be challenged and educated by other people's life. But in a big setting, you can miss all of that stuff. And that's why small groups are really important. It's good for spiritual growth, for fellowship, for prayer support, and for outreaching to other people. So find a group. If this is not a season you can do one in, get into one next season and experience life changing. That was a good plug for that. But you all want to go to a group now. Habit number three, live in a spirit led life. Paul says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Having a relationship with people is great, but God's desire is that you have and I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Wind of God. He's called in the Bible the Ruach, the breath of God. He's called in the New Testament the Pneuma, a breeze, a strong breath. The Bible teaches us some things about the Holy Spirit, that he's a person. Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another, the helper who will be with you. He will be with you forever. He is a person. He is someone that has a role in their lives. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's not some just wind flowing around. He is a person that we engage with, that we're told to engage with in the Holy Scriptures. He reveals Father. He reveals the plans. He reveals the purposes of God in our lives. And he has a big role in our lives. He brings God's comfort. Jesus says, I prayed to the Father, and he shall send you the Comforter. He brings the comfort of the Father. He brings conviction. He tells us, no, that's not right. That's not the way to do things. That's the old way of doing things. And he convicts us. He lets us know. He gives us a nudge. Gives us a little elbow. You don't want to be going there with that thinking, son. And if we obey him in the little things, I tell you the first two things that the Holy Spirit convicted me of. One was, well, here's the first one. I was sleeping with my girlfriend without being married. I was after becoming a Christian, and I was like, the next day I got out of bed. I've been living with Sharon for 6 or 7 years, and it was like I got out of bed and I felt guilty. Why do I feel guilty? I've done that for the last 7 years. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I remember saying to Sharon, I'm not sleeping in that bed until you agree to marry me. She says, don't be ridiculous. Because she didn't feel any conviction, I did. And for the next 9 months, we moved this little girl who was singing this morning to a double bedroom, mommy, and I slept in a single bed. Prior to, not only that, that's a big thing for me. I was on a bus, and I paid 40 pence, I'm giving me age now, 40 pence from Dalton's Barn to town. And I read on the bus ticket, this gets you as far as Mead Street. That's only a couple of stops. Holy Spirit, you didn't pay enough then, though. I haven't got any more money. That's only a couple of stops. I was justifying my... I got to meet you, so I'm getting off. See, if you obey his voice in the little things, you'll hear them in the bigger things. And if we justify it away in the small things, we'll justify it away in the big things. And he's there to bring it. It's not condemnation. It's not like, you bold thing, you did. It's not that. It's like, I've better for you. Of another way of doing this. Of a way that can bring different things into your world. And I know some of us are in situations that we go, well, it's not only dependent on me. But allow him to work in that situation. Allow him that if there's something going on, that he will open the door. He will make a way. But our hearts has to be, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. At least we need to have a want to do what he wants us to do. And not only that, but it's him that brings Christ's character into us. He makes us like Jesus. The Holy Spirit shapes us and makes us into the image of Jesus. Not just Jesus meek and mild. Because when I read that, and I've read it over the years, oh, they're going to make me like Jesus. But Jesus was powerful. Jesus was a real man. Jesus knew when to be quiet and knew when to speak up. He knew when to walk in, he knew when to walk out. He was not only this meek little fellow with kids on his knee, he was casting out devils. And when the Holy Spirit is shaping us in the characteristic of Jesus, it's the full character. It's all of who he is, yet the meek and mild when it's needed, but also the powerful and mighty when that's needed. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings the power of God. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit will come with power. The only way we're going to live this Spirit-filled life is we're filled with the Holy Spirit and he empowers us to live the life that Jesus has. I stopped trying to be a Christian years ago. It's the worst existence, just trying to be a Christian. I'll try to do good. I'll do good for a week and then boom. Can't do it. I remember when I became a Christian, my brother was in prison. I wrote into him, I'm after being born again. A new life, a new purpose. And he writes out, I'll change you back to your old self when I get out. I still have the letter. And I'm 27 years old. And you two have brought out a song. I still haven't found where I'm looking for. A few pages later, I'm still writing to him. Matthew, I didn't even know I was looking for him. But he found me and filled me with his Holy Spirit. And I don't have to try to be good. He's the one that changes you from the inside out. And then you do the things that God wants you to do. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to give you power. Don't do it in your own strength. Don't try to be a good Christian. Be a Christian. Be who you are in God. That was the whole message of the songs this morning. Why does God love us? Not because of what we do or don't do. It's because of who you are. It's who I am, that's what he loves. Not because I do good, because of who I am, that Jesus done all the work so that I can be loved and you can be loved. And I'm telling you, that has to be liberating for you, because if not, you haven't got it yet. So, Lord, open our eyes. Bring your conviction. His conviction is kindness to us. Bring your life-changing power, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come amongst us and enable us to do the things that we can't do in our own strength or don't want to do or not able, Lord. I just thank you that you ask us to live this life and then you give us the power to live this life. You're so amazing, Lord. You're so amazing, Lord. It gives us spiritual direction. How do I live a spirit-filled life? Remove all barriers. If there's barriers now between you and the Holy Spirit, just confess them. If you can't do it, ask him to help you. Lord, I can't. I know you're convicting me and I can't seem to bring this about. Holy Spirit, would you help me? Request the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Request them, ask him. I desire you, Lord. I desire more of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. I desire to be filled. I desire to speak in a heavenly language. I desire to be empowered by you, Lord. I desire to live out of the power that you have for me. Receive by faith the things that he has for you. Relate to him daily. Release your spiritual gifts. If you're someone that is moving in spiritual gift, move in confidence in him. This is what God is saying. This is what God is doing. If you have the gift of healing, lay hands on the sick. If you have the gift of being out there on the streets evangelizing, evangelize with confidence. Have a number four, given of ourselves. This is what the Bible says. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God, we're no more like Father when we're given of ourselves. We're no more like when we're given of our lives to the things of God. Areas of giving. You know, Jesus says a great thing. If you want to find your life, lose it. So get lost. The whole darn lot of you. Get lost. This world, everything. Go to any therapy, whatever. It's all about, finding our life, finding ourselves. But Jesus is saying the opposite. Lose yourself. Get lost. Meaning, give yourself away. Don't go after everything. There's so many people in church, and you're probably here today. I want to be healed. We want healing more than the healer. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, everything that you need will be added on. But some of us, you don't get the kingdom without the king. So they go hand in hand. And some of us seek the thing and miss the king. But if you seek the king, you get the thing. You with me? Put that on a Twitter, or whatever them things are. If you look and seek and devote yourself to finding the thing, you'll miss the king. But if you get the king, you'll get everything. Get lost. Give yourself away. The best thing you can do is not like this with your life, but be like this with your life. And it opens your life up for the king, for the Holy Spirit to get in and to do the work. Giving up our time. I know time is of the essence. But I'm telling you, we're so busy doing so many things. And we're so many doing things that it doesn't even matter when eternity comes into life. Check our lives. What am I doing? The last week, 5 minutes left, I've been away in Spain. I've been away in a rest. And on the rest, I walked the equivalent of three marathons in 5 days. Great rest. And walked. And 5 days away, I've realized there's so much busyness, so much stuff that clamor after our time and our attention and our energy and our brain drain of things and things and things. And I'm like, my goodness. And this is what the Bible is. When we take into consideration our time, the Bible says, give of your time to the things of God. Give of your treasure. Wherever your treasure is reveals where your heart is. If you look at my checkbook, which I haven't got one, but if you look at my bank statement, and all you see is me buying golf equipment and golf clothes and golf shoes and golf time, have a guess where my heart is? Playing golf. Hello? I don't play golf either. Jesus says that's what reveals where your heart is. And he gives us so many opportunities to give of our time and give of our treasure to the things of the kingdom of God. Giving brings benefits. It brings us closer to God. Giving is a remedy for materialism. Giving away. I don't know about you, the more I give away, the more I seem to have. Just look at my CD collection. I have about 400 CD boxes, is it? There's not one CD in them. Now, why I keep giving them away? But Sharon says, why do you buy the CDs and give them away? And I go, but Sharon, look at the collection I have that people give to me. Strangers will walk up on the street and give me CDs. It's the most incredible thing. And I go, if I stop letting them out that way, they'll stop coming in this way. And I'll be left with a load of old CDs, where this way I have a greater flow of music all of the time. You wouldn't believe, when you hear this song, Noel, people will come up to me. Trees in the car this morning on the way in. When you hear this, and she plugs her in, and there I am listening to Suzette and Rap. Just the flow. All of the time. It gets us away from. That's why the great big giveaway is so important coming up. It's because we're giving of our time, our finances to give to people that are in need. Giving strengthens our faith. Giving is an investment in eternity. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Give happily to those in need and always be ready to share whatever God has given you. What advice. If God has given me a euro, be willing to share that with somebody. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. Wow. Biblical generosity is willing, cheerful, sacrificial, and expectant. Let's stand. Thank you. It's very warm, isn't it? Here's our next step. Why don't we, in our next steps, why don't we make a decision? Not many of us would know a man called Jeff in our church. He's come in a good few years. But he says to me a couple of weeks ago, Noel, I'm back starting to read my Bible from cover to cover. He says, I'm on the book of Leviticus, which is a tough book to read if you're reading. He says, this is my third time now. So convicted I was. There's studies, tools, and internet, or find one in wherever you are. Lord, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to get into the book of John. Read the book of John. Look how much it talks about Father and how good Father is in John. Underlined everywhere Father is written in John, and you'll get such revelation of who the Father is. Say to the Lord, I want to be able to talk to you in prayer more. Fellowship with others. Find your group. Your next step is discovering your purpose and leading a spirit-filled life. Next step may be, I need to give of myself to something, an outreach. A service in the church. I want to be in the ushers. I want to serve in the cafe. I want to help in the kids' church. So many places to serve in the church. And one of those steps can be for you. I'm going to get into a Bible study this time. I'm going to pray differently. I'm going to join a group. I'm going to give of myself. And Father, I ask that you would speak to us and where we should serve and how we should serve and with what gifts that you've given me, how I can steward them properly in serving the kingdom of God. And I pray, Father, that you would fill us today. Jesus says, I'll ask the Father and he will send another, the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and that you would fill us up, Lord, with such joy and passion and determination that can only come from you, Lord. A boldness. For some people, and you need to pray through stuff and into stuff. Just receive boldness right now to pray into that. Your mantle of warfare. Your mantle of seeing something true, seeing in the spirit. Some of us don't know Jesus yet. Well, this is how you know Jesus. Just ask him to come into your life. Jesus, come into my life. Cleanse me of all the things I've done wrong. Come in and show me this life that you've promised. And if you ask him with a sincere heart, the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. And if you open up, he'll come in. So you open the door of your heart and welcome Jesus in. And the King will come. And he'll bring all of heaven with him. In your life will count for something incredible in this world and the next. I was on that Camino walk and the Lord showed me a scripture. It was when the prophet, the head of the axe was in the bottom of the water and he couldn't get it out. He prayed and the Lord says, take a stick and threw the stick into the water, and he threw the stick into the water, and the axe head floated. Impossible thing to happen, wouldn't you say? And God spoke to me. He says, Noel, I want you to write down all the impossible things that's going on in your world right now and throw a stick at it. And there's things going on in your world right now and it seems impossible. Seems impossible. How can I get an iron axe head from the bottom to come and float to the top? Impossible. And if you're facing impossible things right now, will you put your hand in the air? There's some things impossible. It's like on the ground. It's like at the bottom. I don't know how to get this off. I don't know how to get this up. Keep your hands up. I don't know how to turn this around. I don't know how to get the breakthrough. I don't know what to do. Well, this is what we're going to do. Father, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you that you can make impossible things turn into possible things, oh God. And Father, I speak into every situation in the name of Jesus. And I say to those impossible things, turn around this week in the name of Jesus. I say to the things that are lodged on the bottom, to float to the top. Things that others are saying cannot happen, we nullify their voices and we speak the word of God and we say, float in the name of Jesus. Turn around in the name of Jesus. Break through in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing and wholeness and restoration, Father, in people's lives, Lord God. Job situations, family situations, Lord God. Community situations, oh God, that we speak to them life and we speak to them the possibilities of God to break through in the name of Jesus. And we say, amen and amen. Guys, you have been so good. Thank you. We need to get through those growth track things. And looking forward over the next couple of weeks, new series starting called What's the Story With? And then the subjects will be there. Have a great week in the name of Jesus. Stay with us for a cup of tea out here.